and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us today, Bill?
Well, we've got a sponsor today. Our sponsor is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And if you need anything in the way of John Deere, go up and see them. They can fix you right up. They also have steel power products and Honda. So if you need a generator, heat's coming on, you know, they're about ready to shut your power off at any time. Don't get caught in the dark. Give them a call. Their phone number up there is 226-9226, or you can get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
You know what always happens?
No, what
Everybody
happens?
Everybody waits until the last minute, and the generators are gone.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a big panic rush. So let's see. How about this? Our unsolicited advertisement today goes back to Dr. Max Malotki at Summit Plastic Surgery because my eye bags from being old that sag down and block your vision, yeah, they look awesome, and it's only been a week, so... If you are noticing that every time you get your glasses redone, they still don't work right, and you're old, might be the bags above your eyes, not the ones below, that are obstructing your vision. It sneaks up on you very gradually.
Yeah, I wouldn't know about that, but, you know, some people do.
You like to carry your bags below your eyes?
That's right.
Oh, we're so kind here. So let's see. You can find everything about the show at wethepeopleradio.us, and apparently I neglected to advance the page. It's on there. It's just that at the moment you'll have to click on next week. I'm busy making it this week. I just had a little spaz attack yesterday and just didn't do it. But our guest is Dr. Harry Booyens, and this is Episode 14. I don't know why we started numbering his episodes. We don't do that with anybody else, but we started doing it anyway. And started numbering them because we were doing shows on South Africa. And, again, we were a little bit ahead of the world. I don't know. When we started doing these. Let's see. Hold on here. I'm going to look in 1 second. Oh, yeah, they go all the way back to May of 2018. 2018 was a good year for us to anticipate things. We started doing shows about South Africa, and now we're dealing with all the Black Lives Matter, blah, 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 tearing down statues. Yeah, if you were thinking that was an American phenomenon, try again. Got shows about that. And all the critical race theory, yep, tried over there first, all that stuff. So Harry was way ahead of the game with us, as were the guests we had from China. They were way ahead of the virus on that stuff. So if you haven't heard any of those programs and you feel like, I don't know, maybe like everyone else that you don't learn anything from the news, you might just check out. We have those set at special tabs. We have South Africa, China, Islam, environmental issues, lots of shows on marijuana. If you still think it's good for you, I really, really hope you look at that. And if you've got kids and you think smoking it in your house is not going to hurt them, you should, well... Probably not listening because you're probably not paying attention, but if you know somebody, how about that? Help a friend. And we're having like an electronic, we're turning into Radio Shack in here. Got a camera at every port. Hope you're enjoying this, Harry. You get to see what actually is going on while we're trying desperately to get you up and running. So let's see. I'm going to give you a little bio on Harry when we get Bill back in his chair. He's a an internationally recognized multiple award-winning, of course, because why would you just give somebody one award if they're really smart? He is a Ph.D. defense and aerospace physicist. Top that. Originally from South Africa, and his family dates back over 360 years in that country. He lives with his family on the forested slopes of Vancouver, Canada these days. His life as a scientist exposed him to many of the realities of the Cold War and the period immediately following the fall of the Berlin Wall. It included an interaction with the United States and the British defense establishment. So he has taken his lifetime of research and interpretive skills to history and geology, and he writes, or genealogy, sorry, and writes with factual accuracy and an engaging style on these subjects. I really hope you check out his book. That is listed on our site as well. It's Amabulu, The Birth and Death of the Second America. It's a really big book, and it's really good. It's very, very well researched, so you don't have to take his word for it. He's got you set with all of the background information, and also he has a really terrific blog. We've linked all that up for you. And so today send me whatever you want. We've got like five possible issues that he sent. So I guess we're going to go in the deep end of the pool at the beginning, because the first topic he has listed is communist university professors. Not to put too fine a point on it, but we can start wherever you like, Harry. We'll just use those as little guideposts for people. How's that?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me again.
We're having some audio issues there.
Put the red down.
Okay. Let me down the gain on this side and see what happens.
No.
Is this any better?
Kind of overmodulated a teeny bit. A lot, actually. Let's see. Say something else.
Okay. That's not too much. Okay. Give me a sec. Right, how is this?
Getting better.
Getting going the right direction.
We're going the right direction. We're still a little bit...
kind of distorted a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm having to sound like crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he's not. I can't see the microphone. It's got to be frozen.
Somehow there's too much power mic-wise. I don't know why that is. I use this every day.
Of course.
I have half the power now.
It only has problems when we want to be on with you. So, hey, you know what? I have an idea. Let's take our break early while we wrestle with this.
Yeah, we'll get it done.
And then we'll be right back. So our guest is going to be Dr. Harry Bouyans. You're really going to like it. Having a little sound issue, but no, not to worry. We'll be right back with you. You can find everything about the program at wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Starting on Saturday, June 22nd at 8 a.m., I'll be hosting a new weekly California Adventure District radio show. There are so many great things happening in our region, and I'll be bringing them all to you every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. I'll have guests from our 12 surrounding counties, including Humboldt, Siskiyou, Trinity, Lassen, Mendocino, and many more. You will be able to plan for a great summer and fall right here in the California Adventure District. Join me every Saturday morning at 8 a.m.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
There we go.
All right. Hopefully. Oh, that's much better.
Much better.
Okay. Robert must have done something.
Yeah. It's not perfectly clear like we do most of the time with you, but it's way better than we were having. So I know you watch all this stuff that goes on here like a hawk, and we email back and forth, and every email seems to end with, "What are you guys doing?"
look at it through my eye. My hope was that the U.S. might be, to some degree, a source of hope for South Africa. Now I'm devoting all my time to see what I can do to keep America from falling over its own feet and going hell for leather down a cliff.
Yeah.
And I'm helpless, really, to do anything about that. I look south of us. There's like 330 million people, at least half of whom appear to have lost their senses. They voted basically to, I don't know, install a zombie in the White House.
Hey, what did before we get to the zombie in the White House, what did the election look like from your end? You know, what was the outside the country take of what was going on in November?
I'm the representative, let's say, of the typical Canadian view, because the standard Canadian view is to walk into any restaurant and just publicly berate Trump for no particular reason. I've never actually heard anyone give a reason. I just saw the vitriol, the hate, the absolute bile-dripping hatred. And when I speak to people, all I get is bile-dripping hatred. I never get anything rational. They can never point at something he did or did not do. It's just hatred. It is hatred for the sake of hatred. And I'll give you an example. So I'm a musician. And the other day I was watching the son of George Martin. George Martin was the producer for the Beatles. His son has turned out another version of, I think it was the Beatles' double white album, something like that. And so there's this interview with him, and at the end of this whole thing, the interviewer says, okay, all we have to do now is get rid of Trump. Yeah, out of the blue, nothing to do with music. He just says, all we have to do now is get rid of Trump and restore peace to the world. And I sat there looking at the screen thinking, okay, my dear hairy friend, let's see. Who was it that presided over the war in Syria? Let's just see, who is it that presided over Russia going into the Ukraine? And please name me the war that has so far occurred on Trump's watch. Name me which North Korean rockets have actually overflown Japan on his watch. It's like there is a complete absence of rational thought, and that any vitriol or hatred will do. And all it does is it spawns further vitriol and hatred. Now, Canada is completely sold on this. If you're a good Canadian, you're supposed to, you know, walk down the street and curse Trump's name on every corner.
It's kind of weird because
they are like that.
There's a guy that...
I lived in New York for a year. Most New Yorkers are aggressive. Most of them are outspoken. I'm not sure I ever met a New Yorker who wasn't.
Exactly. Okay?
If you try to drive in the streets of New York City, you know, politely, you'll get run over. You have to lean on your horn or you're going to get nowhere. I learned that on my first day driving there. So it's an aggressive city where people are outspoken and they're aggressive. But they've got big hearts. And Trump is typical. He's loud, he's abrasive, he's aggressive, and he's got a big heart. Okay? Now, they voted him out and put this other gentleman in there, who I used to think was okay many, many years ago. But that was many, many years ago before my hair was this color. So, I'm sort of like the ground is missing under my feet, not so much politically as in logically. It's like people have completely taken leave of their senses. I've never seen anything like this in my whole life. I do not believe that the British hated Hitler as much in World War II as what people on the left of the spectrum hate the man called Donald Trump.
Well, no, because even
I have no idea what he did to them.
They liked Hitler at the beginning.
I don't
know, our guys never
did.
That
warrants this.
It's
okay, but it's okay on the left of the spectrum to sell America down a hole if only it will somehow hurt Trump. That's the picture I have. So you ask me, what did it look like from outside? It's kind of difficult because in Canada, it's like there's a veil over everything dripped with spray from a can called I Hate Trump. Squeeze here. You know, it's not as though there's any more rational thought on the subject on this side of the fence. And, you know, you get the classic sort of Canadian treatment if you even dare to say anything rational around the man, let alone defend him. If you defend him, you will lose all your friends, okay? You're not allowed to even indicate that he rationally did anything good or positive. You're not allowed. It's illegal. So how do you assess anything in a climate like that?
Don't you find it interesting that the press now is... Can you hear me, Harry?
I can't hear you guys, by the way.
Okay.
Okay, we thought that was happening.
All right. Yeah, my mic's dead. I don't know.
Well, no, you'll hear him in a second.
Okay, how about that?
Let's take a break and we'll hook up the...
We don't have another break.
Oh.
Nice try, Bill.
Okay.
Can you hear
him
now?
Can you hear me now, Harry? Yeah. Nope.
Robert, you'd just really like it if you'd plug in that other thing and just be done with it. Nope.
Nope. Okay, so...
Plug this in, get rid of all the fancy stuff, plug it in, and run it through the board and just be done with it.
How's that?
I think someone has a live mic, but they're not talking.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Right now.
Can you hear us now, Harry? No.
Huh.
Wow.
That's why you plug it into the laptop. If you plug that into the laptop, it'll work. Take it out of that machine. Plug it into the laptop. Into the microphone hole.
The microphone hole? It doesn't have a microphone hole. It has it right here.
Okay. Mine does. Right here.
I know.
So I was going to... Well, so you're listening to a lot of nothing while we play electronic mumbo-jumbo here on our end. And we will get... We will get Harry. We can hear him. We can hear him okay. He just can't hear us. So we got kind of a one-way deal going. But we wanted to hear from him anyway. So who knows? Maybe we'll find something he can't. If he could hear us, he would say something. Instead, he's drinking a glass of water.
I thought he was going to talk while drinking a glass of water like a ventriloquist.
yeah, no. Yeah.
Is he talking?
No, he's not.
No.
He's just looking down at his desk because he can't hear us.
You can't hear us, huh?
No, that's why I'm saying that.
God, why do I have so much trouble with him?
Because you keep trying to do all this trick stuff, and instead we just wanted to have sound, just sound, because it's radio.
It's funny,
and instead we have to experiment with all this trick stuff.
Well, the thing is, I'm supposed to have a mic.
Yeah.
A mic thing here, you know.
Okay. Well, we don't. And now we also don't have a radio program.
Okay, well, anyway.
Because there's no sound.
Let's get back to the phone, then we'll figure it out.
Yeah. He's all set up for microphone on this. He's not set up for phone, which is why we
didn't
you
dial him?
Do all that. This has got to be awesome listening live.
Yeah, right.
Live radio. It just doesn't get any better. This is... You put a little live radio with a... So let's, hold on. Let's not... Oh. Oh, we're going to call him. We're going to listen to the phone call. It's like Chuck Barris. It's like the Gong Show. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so... His first comment in here, actually, that he had sent to us... was regarding Communist University professor. So I'm just going to read that, then he could talk to us more about it. But just prior to the 1968 Soviet invasion, oh, yay, we're being saved. We're being saved. I see being saved as we speak. In Prague, an eminent European theologian, the Protestant Joseph, don't know his last name, H-R-O-M-A-D-K-A, that's a trick name, he held that churches could cooperate in this communist regime, which put forward the ideals of social justice, until he was utterly disheartened by the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia in 1968. God, does that sound familiar? All the churches, everybody, forget that, talk to me. All the churches, everybody thinks that all this social justice and all this stuff is no big problem, no big deal, and what could possibly go wrong? Mostly nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll just sign up for all of it.
Well, I think a lot of states are unsigning up for a lot of it right now. I think there's...
Well, they're unsigning up for the critical race theory stuff.
Yeah, there's like 13, 14 states now that have banned it from being taught in our schools. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks with all of this, because I think it's really coming to a head. People are pretty fed up.
We'll wind up having our Chinese friends on, because they've seen this happen already through the Cultural Revolution.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Exact same thing. I think theirs was based on class, and what's happening here is being based on race. And we haven't seen that since the 60s, where we've had this racial tension like we have today. It's probably worse than it's ever been.
Yeah, we haven't. I mean, even when I was a kid, unlike Kamala Harris, there really was busing at my school. He's on the phone? I'm going to get an A in sign language today.
Oh, I think I hear
Harry.
The
kind where you point to your ear and make the phone symbol.
I'm live.
There you are.
There you are. We hear you, Harry.
We were looking at your topic number one, and how the churches have rolled over for a lot of this.
It's not as though you have to believe me. My wife is a bit of a student of European history, with a sort of a general view that it's no good if your school only teaches you what happened to King Harold the Great in England.
Yeah, no kidding.
There's much more to the world than just England, you know, just ask the Scots. And so she read me this little passage from the book she's working through, and it says that this is 1968, just prior to the Soviet invasion. I don't know if you've read that a little bit live now, so I want to repeat it if you've done.
Go ahead.
But this is 1968, just before the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia. Now, Czechoslovakia is an interesting place because it has always been sort of a crossroads of Europe. It is where the people of Eastern Europe, the Slavic people, kind of met the Germanic people. It's an interesting mix like that. The west of the country is very Germanic. The east of the country is Slovak. So that's where stuff would always happen. There's a reason, therefore, that Prague has been a sort of a crossroads. So, this little quote from the chap's book is that in Prague, an eminent European theologian, the Protestant Joseph Matka, held that the churches could cooperate in this communist regime which put forward ideals of social justice. Remember that phrase, social justice. Until he was utterly disheartened by the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia in 1968. And then the author adds, such people try to set up debate with Marxist thinkers who ruled the universities. Does that sound familiar? It did not work. The communist professors did not like to give respectability to religious people by being seen to be willing to debate with them.
Wow.
So I'd like to put it to you guys that there isn't really all that much new in this world. It's just a matter of, do you want to open your eyes? And do you want to hear the truth when it's quite evident? Or do you prefer to just slap your hands over your ears, pretend, well, we ain't never seen this before. This is cool. This is exciting. This is interesting. Let's try this thing out. Okay? I've never had trouble explaining what's happening in South Africa to people who come from Eastern Europe. I don't have trouble explaining what's happening in South Africa to black people from other African countries who I meet now and then here in Vancouver. They understand. The people from Eastern Europe understand. It's the Brits and the Americans who don't get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big time on the Americans and the British. Why do you think the British don't get it? Because they don't know their own history?
No, they have more of a general concept of these things because they had this thing called an empire, which, whether they wanted to or not, they had to run this thing, and they ended up training their kids in all manner of schools for this, okay? And then, magically, at Cambridge, they managed to train 5 Soviet spies in the 1930s, 40s, and early 50s, okay, who then managed to sell all your secrets back into Russia as well. Okay? So, and these were all upper-class guys, you know. They don't come from us ordinary hoi polloi, right?
Yeah.
This is like the upper crust of British society. That whole Cambridge 5 spy ring, with the exception of one guy, they were all the upper-crust guys. I mean, Anthony Blunt was like, wasn't he... a keeper of the something for the Queen, for heaven's sakes, man. I forget now what his supposed formal job was. Okay? One of them was a BBC guy. Why do people find this stuff so impossible? It's already happened.
Yeah.
All of this has already happened. And it's the same thing with what's coming down in the U.S. right now. It's already happened in a place called South Africa. I happen to be from there. I keep repeating to folks, yeah, I got this PhD, big deal. Yeah, I'm a physicist, big deal. All of that. In the end, I'm a human being, and the reason why I'm talking about a subject is not because of any of those qualifications or that subject. It's because I was born in South Africa, and I've seen this, and it's coming for you. It's been coming for you all along.
Well, this has happened in South Africa, in China, in Russia. I mean, any of these, look at Venezuela, this is all the same thing, and now it's the American version of it. And I don't understand why people don't see that this is going to end the same way. It just kind of
badly.
Blows my mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Matt has a habit of giving you the same answer every time.
Yeah. Yeah, you do the same thing. It's... Yeah, Pavlov's dog.
And then people give me these sort of rote answers, like, no, but democracy, and I don't know what else. Guys, you know, if democracy was so wonderful, why didn't Germany, France, and Britain vote on the subject of World War II before they started killing one another?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their differences, frankly, were trite compared with what we face in South Africa, where it's two completely separate, different, incompatible, competing civilizations.
Yeah.
Not just language. It takes me back to this Danish professor that I shared an office with at IBM in 1979-80. He was the guy who told me that we should just die. And you've heard that before.
Yeah.
But there was another part of the debate that I had with him, and I think it's insightful in hindsight. The significance of it didn't entirely strike me at the time. But now I'm old and gray and I get it. And we had lots of arguments about communism versus capitalism. So I told him, I'll tell you what, Jörn, how about we get in my car, I'll drive you down to the New York docks. Then you and I each get a chance to explain our views to the guys who are working on those docks, because you say that you're concerned about them. So we both explain to them. And what do you think is going to happen, Jörn? And he told me straight, without batting an eyelid, he said to me, well, they're going to agree with you. And I told him, okay, so that settles it. And he says, no, they're going to agree with you because they're stupid. So, in other words, he, the clever Danish engineering professor, is so enlightened and intelligent and clairvoyant and Lord knows what else and godlike and all of that, that these dock workers should just shut the hell up and do what he says.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't that sound vaguely familiar to you right now? Yeah. I was hearing that in 79 in a little office, little cramped office at IBM, Yorktown Heights, New York. That was being spelt out to me by a communist professor. This little pack strikes me, right?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So then I asked him, okay, along with all these arguments about what should then happen in South Africa, where I remind you, once again, you have these two entire cultures that have nothing in common. And I asked him, so let me check this with you, Jörn. What do you understand when people talk about a cultural difference? Guess what he told me. Harry, it's the kind of wine you drink and the kind of cheese you eat.
Wow. Okay. There's somebody that's a little bit out of touch.
This highly convinced communist professor whose understanding of social differences is what wine you drink. Okay?
Mm.
And
I don't think it's
so
any different than what
about
we're seeing.
The fact that he's supposedly speaking for the oppressed dock workers of the world, that when I challenge him to come with me down to the docks and we both explain to the dock workers how we see life, he tells me, well, they're going to agree with you, Harry, because they're stupid.
Wow.
I don't know why I didn't just call them, you know, smelly Walmart people. Right?
Yeah.
Like me, you know, me, smelly Walmart person, wearing a Walmart T-shirt, right?
But, you know, it's all the same stuff they did back when they thought technocracy was the way to go, you know. Remember during technocracy where they all had their little they got their get-togethers and they didn't want the rank and file rabble of dummies electing other dummies to represent them. They thought that if the world was run by people who were qualified, right? The qualified people, basically we put the bureaucrats in charge. And so all of the people who were qualified, they should be making all the decisions. And this whole electing people was just causing us to, you know, be a big mess. And thank God, the only thing that ruined that whole movement in the, 1930s was they got uniforms. And when they got uniforms, people freaked out. They thought they were like the SS.
Well, we're not far from that today. I mean, we're kind of
I hope they get uniforms anytime quick and they blow themselves up. Yeah, it'd be perfect.
Kind of going down that same road.
So all I'm really trying to say is there's nothing new here, guys. What is just so weird is that no one seems to be willing to learn the lessons from history. You know, there are folks who've been around the block on this stuff, and the people in Europe have seen some of this. It's new to the U.S. and to some degree to Britain, but Britain had its brush with socialism soon after the war and again under Harold Wilson. Mm-hmm. I mean, they pretty much nationalized anything that moved just after the war. And then people are surprised that in 1952, the Brits were still on food rations.
Yeah, what do you...
Seriously.
Well, when you look at what they're looking to spend with all this crazy, I don't think they'll be able to do it, but the, you know, the multi-trillion dollar spending and what comes after that, I guess maybe we better pick that up on the backside of the break. We're at that point. Take a quick break. We'll come back with our guest, Dr. Harry Bouyans. You're listening to We the People, and I think we have our technical issues fixed. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north of something new. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy, mercy.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
This is Ted Lighty with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Light, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Redding Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com featuring Armstrong and Getty, both smart and funny. Plus, you will hear Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro. And don't miss our local programming right here on KCNR.
Somebody's fries are done.
All right. Well, it looks like we got all our technical stuff figured out. Harry, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, I can see his mouth moving. No sounds coming out.
No.
This is where I have some sort of a major medical episode and I have to leave.
Get the paddles.
I'll leave Bill by himself. There you go, Bill. Get it figured out.
I'm going to go get my my portable paddles out of the car. And
there. Oh.
Was that you, Harry?
Something.
Yeah, I'm there, but I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing. It's unclear to me.
Yeah, you're.
I don't know whether we're doing video or whether we're doing just audio. I'm not getting any feedback on that. I'm not sure whose call I'm in. I'm on one that says Aaron Ryan, We the People Radio. But I'm getting other messages in other little pop-up windows from Robert.
You can close. You can close anything.
Of those messages, it is just everywhere and all over the show.
You can close anything from me. I can't be in there at the same time.
Okay, so I'm shutting that call down because I don't know where it fits
there
in my
go.
Universe.
It doesn't.
And your audio just got 100% better.
Oh, you can hang up your phone. Oh. That was fun. We were in the cone of echo. Now we still can't hear you, darn it. I bet we can, though. There's something going on. I don't know, but it was echo, echo, echo. And then, whoa, now he's gone.
I think that's his issue.
He's gone.
It's okay. He'll come back.
All right.
I spoke entirely too soon.
Let's have a little moment of blame game. It's your fault now.
It was. Yeah, it's like washing your car and then making it rain. I mean, I think we today is technical difficulty day.
Technical difficulty Sunday.
Do they have one of those? No, they have a day of the month for everything else.
I know.
We need
There's always one for
technical difficulty.
Turn the screen towards you, Robert, until you can get it handled, because he can't see us and we can't communicate with him.
Why is it when his phone goes?
I don't know, but nobody on the radio cares. Funny how that works. All you want to do is hear the guest talk. So much to ask for today. We'll have to chalk this up to a failed episode. And you know, the really bad part of this is, besides the fact it's happening, this is the same thing that happened last time Harry was on. We're gonna ask Harry to be on the show, and he's gonna go, you know, I hate being on your show now. It sucks.
Well.
I used to like it. Episode number 12 was good. We got to episode number 13, and it was like, everything went haywire. Everything beyond 13 was a loser. Don't try to do the Baker's Dozen. That's what I learned. Baker's Dozen, bad.
Yeah.
So what's been going on at work, Bill?
Well, you know, it's cooling down. People are coming in. I mean, it's getting busy. I think it's good shopping weather.
There you go.
There you are.
Nice time to get out before it turns into 150,000 degrees.
Well, you might be too late for that because I think it's supposed to be 108 by Wednesday or Thursday.
Oh, so if you live anywhere but the Reading area, you can enjoy your life. But if you live here,
yeah.
Get out the asbestos. You're gonna need it.
And the copper tone. Yeah, you're gonna need that.
So let's see.
You know, if I could read lips,
I know it would be
spectacular. This would be a great show.
Tell him to put the sign up again.
Robert, if you turn that toward you, then you can get that fixed. Stop swiveling it back to us. We can't help him. He can see us, but we can't do anything.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you tell him that on the little chat room there with Skype.
Okay.
I feel like I'm helping my mom, but I know I'm not. Anyway, I was going to...
I thought it was interesting what he was saying about what they're seeing in the American culture from their country. You know, they're seeing that it's kind of going wacko right now.
Yeah.
It's not just us over here thinking something's going haywire. I think other countries are seeing that as well. And I think we're going to hear probably more about that when our not-so-duly elected president comes back from his foreign trip. I'm going to be interested to see what other countries think about that visit. Because everything I saw is Dr. Jill was holding his hand and kind of leading him around a little
bit. I know.
Bit.
They probably enjoyed it, though.
It's kind of sad.
I don't think they like Trump scaring him all the time.
Well, that's true.
He's a big,
that's
scary
true.
Man.
They have a little
so
more say-so now.
This isn't a meritocracy. This is, you know, this is a feel-good deal. So on yeah. feel-good, he ranks high. Meritocracy, Trump rules.
That's true. That's true.
Hey, Harry, do we have you in there? We hear a little.
Yeah, I'm here, except that you guys are desperately soft. I'm basically lying with my ear on the phone.
Yeah, which is why a long time ago we decided to switch to Skype, because it seemed so much better, and then, well.
It is better, but I don't know why we are having this amount of trouble with Skype. I don't have it anywhere else.
Hmm. Well,
we just do that for you special, so that.
Okay.
Well, you're transmitting loud and clear, so that's the important part for radio.
Okay.
We don't care about the video part of it exactly.
So, go back, you know, help us out. In Canada, what are you hearing? Is your media up there like ours, just, you know, make stuff up all the time?
No, they don't have to. They just echo CNN.
Oh, gosh. You guys are in real trouble.
You lucky dog.
As far as I'm concerned, the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, is basically just CNN North.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, terrific.
Exactly. So now you've got, you know, you used to have 350 million people who potentially could be waylaid by CNN. And in Canada, it's not like you have much of a choice. You know, you're going to get CBC whether you want it or not. And they don't really do any thinking for themselves. If it's news, they're getting it via CNN, as far as I'm concerned. I could not tell the difference. When a CBC news report in late last year, during the election period, prefaces its report by saying, and in the United States, Trump today held another, what do they call it, another super spreader event.
Yeah.
They're really hung on that.
You don't need to hear anything further. I just shut the TV down. I don't want to hear anything further from such people.
Yeah. Are they, how paranoid are they up where you are about the virus?
I missed the very first part of that sentence.
Oh, I was going to say, how paranoid up where you are? I mean, are they still running around with their masks on, terrified?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we're still masked. Things have eased up just a tad. We had a sort of a second wave effort here where they started shutting the restaurants down again to some degree. And at first one could, there were two little tables available in the little fast food place up the hill. And then they shut that down as well. But they did allow us to sit at two little outside tables, so the entire amusement for a week in my life was to walk with my wife up the hill to go and sit outside in the rain and have a breakfast, right? So they've now allowed us to go inside, and there's at least two tables open, but everything is still masked.
How frustrating. We're getting to that point here, at least in our area, where things are pretty good. I mean, we went into church last night, and I think there was one person wearing a mask when we looked around, and then I don't know, maybe five or six, which is hardly anybody. That was kind of nice.
Yeah, our
seems
part
like the
our
world's
part
going
of,
back to
yeah our part of the state, I think, is returning to somewhat of a state of normalcy.
But, you know, you can only, I wonder every now and then what it would be like if Trump were still in office. What would be the narrative now? Because if we're still running around with masks on and Biden's in, he was supposed to fix everything, so I don't know.
Well, like I said, you know, I'm terrified of, since I'm walking around with a mask on, I just don't want to be anywhere near a chair that's in the middle of a white circle. They might make me president.
That's about it, too.
So all I have to do is sit on a chair and grunt incoherently, and I could end up in the White House.
God, that's just so true. Yeah, it is frightening when you look at some of the clips that they don't play. on CNN and those other channels, and you see some of the things he says, and you're thinking, what is... Well, it was on the campaign, too. I mean, they had... It was just a gaffe machine.
Until November last year, we were all dying. We're going to die tomorrow. We're going to die then, die there, die whatever, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the moment that Biden has supposedly voted in, it's moonshine and roses. There are no problems, folks. Nothing to see here. Move on. It's all perfect. You know, no trouble here. But, okay.
Yeah.
Amazing, isn't it?
It is. It's spectacular. What, just out of curiosity, what happened with all this in South Africa? How do they handle all this? They locked the place down?
Badly. If you look at my blog, you'll see the very last article I placed late last year. Our lives were very badly interrupted here with a loss of my mother, so I haven't posted anything since December. But the last article I posted was pretty much around one particular day in South Africa, which happened to be my birthday.
Hmm.
And they showed black troops standing guard over white people on a beach to make sure that they don't congregate and that they wear masks and blah, 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 blah. Okay? And then a handful of miles away, a huge black crowd was congregating, having a mad party altogether, and absolutely no effort at controlling it. That's all you need to know. That's how it works.
Interesting.
So that government found a way to inject the word race into a virus.
Yeah, they haven't stopped with the race thing. I mean, the virus is slowly going away, but they've managed to leave the race card out there, and they're injecting that in every story now, which is really sad.
Well, and for those people who aren't following the side effect, I guess we'll call it the off media stories about what's going on with the quote unquote vaccine. If in fact you are someone who did get it, there's a lot of warnings out there about not getting the flu shot. You should do a lot of homework if you're a vaccine recipient, I should say. And if you're somebody who normally gets the flu shot, you might want to skip that this year. They're anticipating some huge, huge issues with that. So that was something that came out last week, and we've got some time. But if, in fact, that goes the way it goes and they convince everybody to get the flu shot, we're going to see lots of drama again in the fall and in the winter, which – obviously, I think we're all ready to be done with.
I just have one question. Where did all the flu cases go?
Yeah, exactly. That is the $64,000 question. And maybe we'll call it the 64,000 people question.
This year, early last year, mid last year, I wanted to know, where are the flu cases? Why is nobody talking about the flu cases?
Oh, are they giving you guys the same answer they're giving us? They're telling us it's because everyone wore masks, so no one got it.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, come on. That could happen.
Well, the story I heard was because we were so good at social distancing and wearing masks and washing our hands that we basically wiped the flu out. So,
yeah, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's never coming back.
Yeah.
Harry, we'll give you 5 minutes to collect your thoughts, and we'll be right back. Yeah. We'll do a little quote-unquote news. How about that? We'll give it the air quotes.
Okay.
You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
K243CT Reading.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.
Tom, I'm Jason Walker. The Israeli parliament voting in favor of a new coalition government ending Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's historic 12-year rule. Naftali Bennett, a former ally of Netanyahu turned bitter rival, becomes the new prime minister. Netanyahu remains head of the Likud party, and he will hold the post of opposition leader. President Biden promising tough talk when he sits down this week with Russian leader Vladimir Putin. White House correspondent Greg Clugston has the story.
Ahead of Wednesday's meeting with Putin, the president had some strong words, saying that he plans
to let him know what I want him to know.
Mr. Biden said that while the U.S. wants a stable and predictable relationship with Moscow, it will respond in a robust and meaningful way if the Russian government engages in harmful activities. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the president will be clear, direct, and straightforward with Putin. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Also at townhall.com, the president now in Belgium for the start of the NATO talks. At the close of the G7 conference in England, the president says that COVID-19 and economic recovery were the key topics.
We know we can't achieve one without the other. That is, we have to deal with a pandemic in order to be able to deal with economic recovery, which, as we're doing in the States, but we committed that we're going to do more for the rest of the world as well.
Before leaving Great Britain, the president and his wife Jill had tea with Queen Elizabeth. At least 12 people have been killed, dozens hurt, in a gas line explosion in a residential neighborhood in central China. City officials in Xi'an say there is no word on a possible cause. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Halbert, the father and son, founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and now I agree. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor for Pete and Seth selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. That's correct. Each of the four ingredients deal with inflammation on a different metabolic pathway. That right there. Approaching your pain from four different angles may very well be why so many Americans find such wonderful pain relief. If you have back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or even just getting older, you must order the 3-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. I think it could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to relieffactor.com, call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com.
Well, don't look now, but couples in America, well, they're racing to the altar.
We say love can never be canceled.
Maggie Lord, who's a vice president at David's Bridal.
People were going to get married one way or another. We saw many, many couples had what we call part one, and they did a smaller wedding during COVID, and now they're having part two, and they're having the larger celebration. They're having, the big wedding that they had planned for before.
So if you've gotten a lot of wedding invitations lately?
It is the largest wedding season of all time.
I'm Shelley Adler.
A federal judge in Texas throwing out a major lawsuit filed by employees of a Houston hospital over its requirement that all staff members be vaccinated against COVID. Houston Methodist Hospital System suspending 178 employees without pay last week over their refusal to get vaccinated. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A Virginia county is paving the way now to rename a major highway that is currently named after Confederate General Robert E. Lee. Ron DeRockstra has that story.
The Arlington County Board plans to vote next month to rename Lee Highway for abolitionist John Langston, the first black person to be elected to Congress from Virginia. The final vote was pushed back to July 17th to allow for additional community input. The county currently estimates the name change will cost $300,000. And would only cover the parts of Lee Highway that run through Arlington County. Ron DeRockstra reporting.
Costing more to tank up gasoline, 2 cents a gallon higher now than over the last 3 weeks. Nationwide average is $3.13. And if it seems like you're paying a lot more than, say, a year ago, you're right. Gas is 95 cents higher than in 2020. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
afternoon, and welcome back. This will be the second hour. It'll feel like the first hour, though, because we'll start at the beginning. Oh, boy. Yeah, we're not going to do the second hour like the first hour. How's that? So my name is Erin Ryan.
And my name's Bill, kind of.
Actually, you should probably have fake names on the show. Oh, why? Did I ruin your jam there, Bill?
Yeah, you're jamming me.
Oh,
here.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Lock those little lips up. Hey, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, and they are everything John Deere. You can get mowers, tractors, attachments, parts sales services, all there. You can also go up and talk to them about Honda Power Products and Steel Power Products. They've got all that in stock and ready to go. Or you can give them a call at 226-9226 or get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
Look at that.
I don't think I ever said what their hours are. It's Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
Yeah, Bankers.
Yeah.
It's just like Bankers from the olden days.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Said Bill. All right. So our guest today, we've tortured him terribly. We owe him. We're going to have to send him something. We did 12 episodes with him over the years. No problems. Episode 13, sound problems, can't connect, blah, blah, blah. Episode 14, oh, back to connection hell.
Yep, I was getting ready to string a can and a long string up to Harry and give that a shot.
He's on the forested slopes outside of Vancouver.
That's right. Some good quality string and a couple of bean cans, and I think we would have been in business.
Shoot it up there to Bigfoot and have him run it over. Good. So,
should be a ode to Alexander Graham Bell, right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, unsolicited advertisement of the day. Thank God for the phone, huh?
Yeah, here's the bit I don't understand. And here I am. I'm a physicist and a technologist who's worked on a lot of this stuff. How come we are getting the video to work correctly?
Yeah, I know.
Sound won't.
Uh-huh.
That is contrary to all science.
It's the Alexander Graham Bell
the
gods.
The only explanation for that is the sound is going down the wrong pipe somewhere.
Yeah, it's jammed up in there. We need to go down and look for a big ball in the line there somewhere. I think it's
Roto-Rooter.
Yeah.
Whatever line will handle a video signal handle audio like it is absolutely nothing.
Unless you want to do an interview with us. In which case,
yes.
We suspend all those laws of physics and we rewrite them.
That's right.
Into something annoying and frustrating.
But fear not, because Skylink is almost completed and we'll be able to, with the help of Elon Musk, go pure satellite anywhere in the world. So,
do I need to point out that he's of South Africa?
Yeah, there you go.
He actually went to the same school as my kid.
No fooling.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Or like 5 years before or something.
Oh.
My son is 35 going on 36. Elon Musk is a little older.
Well, that's kind of cool. You South Africans, you're so busy. You're too busy being.
They had the same school principal, Mr. Sinclair. So.
Oh. Wow. Not a lot of people could say that. You know, you listed like five possible, not really topics, but issues, but the communist university professors, we kind of skipped that part. Give us your spin on the university professor thing, since we have inadvertently mentioned school.
Well, where can a self-respecting communist hang out and have a living?
Yeah,
that's a good point.
In a culture like America, like the United States, a place that was fundamentally founded on, built upon, the principles of earning your keep by the sweat in your brow. Where can a communist, a guy who says, share and share equally, just give me more, where can a guy like that hang out safely?
Well, either NPR or the colleges.
He's going to hang out in the media. He is going to hang out in political circles. He's going to hang out at universities.
Yep, there you go.
All places that don't get many questions.
Funny how that works. Okay.
And so that's where they gravitate to. And that's where they can infect your children.
Is the indoctrination in the schools the same in South Africa?
It didn't used to be, now it is.
But you have this high level of...
The kids are being taught a completely alternative history in which their parents are the bad guys.
Oh, okay. That makes perfect sense.
Have you noticed that the only group of people on Earth who are subjected to this are white folks of Western European descent, and thereby, you know, America has the same base? You don't have this mental disease with people in Eastern Europe.
No. I just wondered if it was working as well there, only because, you know, they're kind of a wholesale killing on white people there, and I wondered if the children of the farmers...
Well, the whites see it for what it is. They know it's indoctrination.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like in the U.S. where the parents apparently are too thick to realize it.
Yeah, because you really have to wonder about that. You see people going along with all this because it seems, you know, like a kinder, gentler world to let your kids apologize for their...
Like in our organization where we had to sit and hear from some guy who walks in with a suitably black skin and nothing else, how we are innately a problem, but not to worry, they'll teach us how to be good people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you start off that way, you're not going to convince too many people. So fortunately, the folks in South Africa saw some of this coming.
God. Any hope in sight down there? Or is it still going like full blast?
No, I don't. I sent you a little note from my cousin. And they're pretty despondent. And he lives in the good part of the country. I have no idea what that WhatsApp message would have read like if he lived in the east of the country. It would be considerably worse.
Hmm.
Poor guys. And
in a certain sense, South Africa is a bit like the U.S. geographically as well, in that right at the west coast at Cape Town, it's extremely liberal, and then as soon as you go inland from there, very much like you see in your part of the world, the moment you go inland, people become realistic and more conservative. And he lives in that second area, the slightly inland area. Sorry. And then as you move east, you get into stupid land again, and the same happens in the U.S. You know, like you have two idiotic coastlines and some level of flyover rationality in the middle.
That is kind of weird.
And so in their case down there, away from the corporate Cape Town, which sort of plays a game and sounds like a bunch of Dems, they in that part of the world, they're still nominally rational, but they're farmers and they're getting killed. You know.
And
nobody
cares. None of that has let up at all, Harry.
I defy you to find a CNN article about 4,000 farmers having been killed in South Africa.
Hmm.
Doesn't count. They're white. They should just die. Like the good Danish professor said, you should just die.
Wow.
Hmm. So the farmer situation down there from the last time we talked to you has not changed?
No, not really. They kind of... had that one event where they got together in the town of Senegal, and that's not the country Senegal, it's a town called Senegal, named after a Frenchman. And but since then, there's been no effort on the part of the farming community to do anything to thicken their voices or firm their stand or anything, as far as I'm concerned. The thing with our folks, I had a radio interview with Dan Appel a while ago, and he happens to have exposure to the Dutch Reformed folks, church folks in Montana. And he says he recognizes the behavior, because I told him the problem is that the response that these folks have to everything is to have a prayer day.
Yeah.
They get murdered, then they go and have a prayer meeting. They get attacked, they go and have a prayer meeting. Everything, the answer to everything is a prayer meeting. And, I've gone as far as contacting a Dutch Reformed Church minister, asking him about all of this, and he told me, Harry, I will justify for you from Scripture that that is not the proper Christian thing to do. Okay? You cannot just go and heap everything on God's shoulders and then go home and have coffee. Yeah. So that's my frustration that I have, is that these folks are doing absolutely nothing to improve their socio-political situation. They're just sitting there waiting for the blows to fall, and as the blows get heavier and heavier, they pray more and more. That's what they feel they can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievably frustrating to watch people wait to die.
Yeah.
This is a little bit personal, but, you know, I had to watch my mother die in January. She died from cancer, and I saw a bitter fight for 5 days for the right to die. And it's like I'm watching an entire nation in that state.
Hmm. What's the...
I'm watching the pulse rate go down. I'm watching the oxygenation go down.
Sure.
I'm watching them struggling more and more for a breath.
So in the last year... What are the what's the difference in the amount of land that's being farmed?
The number of farmers is reducing. There used to be something in the vicinity of 80,000 white farmers. There's now more like 35,000.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, bigger corporations have bought out farms. That's true. In some cases, some farms were actually given to some black communities, but they basically go and sit there. They look at the plants. They don't seem to know what to do at all. Then after a while, they chop up the fruit trees for wood, and they, you know, rip the fittings out of the farm buildings, and they go and build their shacks with it. And then everything just reverts basically to a distributed slum.
Right, right.
And nothing comes out of the farm. And so it's just case after case after case after case after case of that,
right,
where the farms are supposedly given to a black community. The community is too stupid to know what to do. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be polite anymore. They are too stupid to know what to do.
So they
revert to what they know to do.
Right.
They steal.
And so
they revert to what they know how to do. Theft.
Right. And so the production numbers...
You know, that's the way Africa is. It's a zero-sum game. Let's see who can steal from whom. Nobody creates anything. It's just a cyclical theft fest. It is so demoralizing, you know. And they will tell you that themselves, that they can't snap out of it. They just don't understand where money comes from at all. They think it comes from ATMs.
Hmm. How much longer until the famine starts?
I don't know what to tell you on that score. But again, you know, the very same guys who go and have their prayer meetings work harder and harder and harder to produce off those farms so people do not starve to death, because they see it as their Christian duty to produce the food. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm seeing is a little community of decent Christians being completely destroyed while they're doing their best to help their destroyers.
And is the food supply in South Africa, is that still pretty heavily dependent on...
It oscillates, but it's not in as good a shape as it used to be. It's like with everything else, you know, for example, got a message this week to say that the central defense acquisition company, the guys who manufactured everything to do with defense, finally gone into receivership. They're bankrupt. They can't do anything anymore. It used to be the basis of South African technology. Whatever Elon Musk might say or think, it was that industry that underpinned his initial successes. So that's gone to hell. The airways, national airline is in permanent trouble. The national electricity utility is in permanent trouble. The roads are busy collapsing. So I don't actually see any glimmer of hope anywhere. The only glimmer of hope is a very cynical one, and that is that the U.S. is taking a bit of a knock, and the South African rand is actually climbing with respect to the U.S. dollar, apparently. So I am told. I haven't checked for myself. I should confirm that before I open my yap, but that's what I was told in the last 24 hours.
Hmm.
So I can check that for you.
Hmm.
But there's no way that will be a long-term trend. I mean, in the end, it's going to go like Zimbabwe, and they're going to print money, and it's going to be hyperinflation, et cetera, et cetera. Ultimately, the Zulu tribe will turn on the Xhosa tribe, and they will murder each other with gay abandon, and all the other black tribes will hide under the bed because they can't face those two. Okay, and then when it's all said and done, they'll try and find the nearest white man to help them. That's how that's going to pan out.
Wow.
If they can't find him, they will go hat in hand to the world, and then, you know, the typical European and North American bleeding heart is going to give them money. Okay? And it's that kind of idiot that's caused all this trouble in the first place.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like they're dependent on foreign aid.
I am just done with these foreign aid kind of guys. They go to Africa in order to assuage their own conscience for something they didn't do, but their grandpappy possibly did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really don't want to hear about their sense of guilt. They can stuff it for all I care. They can go and massage that gland of theirs elsewhere, because all it causes is misery. Like, stupid little things, you know, like I go to the mall over here. There's a little Chinese girlie. She's got a bunch of United Nations pamphlets, and she shoves one in my face. And it says their little program is to collect money from idiots like me so they can give every family in Africa a goat. So I told her, go to Google Earth. Look at the southeastern corner of Zimbabwe on that map. It is white. It is white because the vegetation has been destroyed, and the vegetation was destroyed by goats. Do you understand what you're doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently not.
Yeah, I mean, I keep telling folks, you were asking me about the professors and communists at universities, etc. It's really difficult to find a communist on an American farm. It's difficult,
mm-hmm.
You know. And the reason is simple, is that the farmer understands, you know, that he has to sow something, he has to work at all of this, he has to go and borrow money, he has to buy that damn John Deere if he's got to plow that field, he's got to water all of this thing, he's got to pray it's all got to come up, he's got to harvest it. He knows it takes work, and then he's got to hope that price is still good and he's going to sell all of that stuff. That guy actually knows what a goat does. He probably has a picture of his pet goat standing in the top of a tree. So those things will climb up there to eat the last leaf. Now, I'm just so annoyed at having to tell people this stuff. But I have no difficulty talking to an ordinary Kansas farmer about that. But you cannot talk to a university professor about it.
Well, they had a program, it's been 2-3 years ago now, out of UC Davis, where they were going to take over some state land, and they were going to farm it with high tech and just show these farmers that you didn't have to use all this water and you didn't have to use all these chemicals and you didn't have to, you know, do the, you know, commercial farming like they've done for the last 100 years. And
I can just see Joe Bloggs, the corn farmer, looking at this lot.
Oh, well, they didn't last one season, and they threw the whole program away because they couldn't make anything grow. So, I mean, the intellectuals, yeah, they have some great ideas, but when it gets down to it, it's the guy out there in the field that understands how crops grow and what crops need, and it's not Brondo.
Absolutely, reading my mind.
And you know, that's what's gonna, you know, make plants produce. And you have to make money. And if you don't make any money doing it, why are you doing it? I mean, it's a business like any other business. And there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. And unfortunately, it sounds like the folks in South Africa don't have the education to make a large farm work. And aren't willing to, you know, accept the expertise from the people on the ground. And so here we go, you know, buy a goat.
It's much deeper than that, though. You see, there is no... sorry. There's not really a concept in the United States of what... subsistence farming. The closest thing to that you might get is a subsistence existence of here and there a small patch of maybe Indian folks in the west of the country or on the plains somewhere. Here in Canada, it might be some of the First Nations in the way north of Manitoba.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the vast bulk of Africa is a subsistence society. It is not one where you grow food for public consumption. That's not the purpose of it. That's not the impetus behind it. And they just do the stuff they've done the way they've done it for the past 1,000 years. And it's only for the last 100 years that these strange creatures called white guys kind of intruded into that world and started coming along with all these funny things like tractors and you know, bags of seed and stuff like that. It was all newfangled stuff. And so you give those folks a functional farm, like they were given the biggest citrus estate on the planet Earth called the Zebedile Estate in South Africa. Okay? Completely collapsed. They went from biggest citrus estate to zip.
Wow.
It takes some doing to achieve that. That is not lack of education. That is cultural.
Right.
It's because the people are the way the people are. It is because they were raised like that by their fathers and their mothers. It is what they know.
So cultural doesn't mean cheese and wine.
It doesn't. That's my comment. You know, you can imagine my reaction to this professor. To me, a cultural difference is people, you know, here's the best example. A couple of years ago, a elected representative of the ANC government in one of the provinces got upset, and she got up and asked, why is the lightning only hitting black people? She wants the national research body to investigate why the lightning is hitting only black people. And then she added, she wants them to find out what it is that the lightning wants.
Holy cow.
Wow. That's got to worry you just a little bit.
Tell me that bit about education again that you were asking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's working out great.
You got it. There's the calibration you need to understand.
No kidding. Let's take a little break here. We jammed all of our breaks into one break. We're just changing everything today. So we're just going to take one big fat break at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll come back. And I found a little clip from the cult classic Idiocracy when we come back that will explain exactly what the thought process is on the farming in South Africa if you made it into a movie that was supposed to be funny, not prophecy.
Yeah, as it turned out to be.
Unfortunately, it's turned out to be somewhat prophetic. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Harry Booyans, and you are listening to We the People. You can find us, just in case you want to send us hate mail for today, at wethepeopleradio.us.
You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay. We got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down. We can't hold back. Oh, you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.
Hey, Northern California, this is Nigel Skeet, and starting on Saturday, June 22nd at 8 a.m., I'll be hosting a new weekly California Adventure District radio show. There are so many great things happening in our region, and I'll be bringing them all to you every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. I'll have guests from our 12 surrounding counties, including Humboldt, Siskiyou, Trinity, Lassen, Mendocino, and many more. You will be able to plan for a great summer and fall right here in the California Adventure District. Join me every Saturday morning at 8 a.m.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
To celebrate the Papa Bear in your life, the popular Big Daddy Burger is back at Black Bear Diner. This massive burger sports 2 10-ounce patties and a 6-inch sesame seed bun. Add 2 onion rings, a fried egg, bacon, cheese, pickles, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and dressing, and well, you've got a burger challenge. Want the Big Daddy but can't tackle the mountain? Try the new Little Daddy. Get both this month only at Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Reading, or order for carryout or delivery at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hi, I'm Liz Ponce. We at Lassen Canyon Nursery love to support the Shasta County Farm Bureau, Shasta District Fair, and the Haven Humane Society, just to name a few nonprofits that are dear to our hearts. We are proud to live in a community that celebrates unsung heroes who give back, and we invite you to give where your heart is to help build a stronger community together. Please remember to visit Lassen Canyon Nursery before you plant your strawberry patch this spring.
Yeah, we'll be counting stars.
the hell is this?
Tastes like Gatorade.
Is that that Brondo stuff?
They're watering crops with a sports drink?
Brondo the Thirst Mutilator had come to replace water virtually everywhere. Water, the basic component of all life, had been deemed a threat to Brondo's profit margin. The solution came during the budget crisis of 2330, when the Brondo Corporation simply bought the FDA and the FCC, enabling them to say, do, and sell anything they wanted. Joe didn't know any of this, but he did see a problem that he might actually be able to solve. With his options running out, Joe took a bold step. He would not get out of the way. This time, he would lead.
For the last time, I'm pretty sure what's killing the crops is this Brondo stuff.
The Brondo's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
So wait a minute. What you're saying is that you want us to put water on the crops?
Yes.
Water. Like out the toilet?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be out of the toilet, but yeah, that's the idea.
But Brondo's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
Okay, look. The plants aren't growing, so I'm pretty sure that the Brondo's not working. Now, I'm no botanist, but I do know that if you put water on plants, they grow.
Oh, well, I've never seen no plants grow out of no toilet.
Hey, that's good. You sure you ain't the smartest guy in the world?
Yeah.
Okay, look, you want to solve this problem. I want to get my pardon, so why don't we just try it, okay? And not worry about what plants crave.
Brondo's got what plants crave.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know?
It's what they use to make Brondo.
Yeah, but why do they use them to make Brondo?
Because Brondo's got electrolytes.
After several hours, Joe finally gave up on logic and reason and simply told the cabinet that he could talk to plants and that they wanted water. He made believers out of everyone. Joe didn't know it, but the beloved electrolytes were salts that had been building up in the topsoil over the decades.
That's circular logic at its finest right there.
Harriet, I don't know if you've seen Idiocracy, but that...
but I heard that a little bit.
Yeah, that... does that sound familiar?
That's way too advanced for what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God.
Well, look, I visited Hawaii a few years ago. And then, in passing, I chatted to one guy who was a businessman from California. And the guy blew up at me because I tried to explain to him, when you have a continent full of people who have a subsistence living, you cannot talk about unemployment. Yeah, say, imagine that there's this island. And everybody just grows and eats coconuts, and that's their whole life. What the hell is the meaning of unemployment, right? Because the unemployment is either zero or it's 100%. I don't know which one of the two, but it's a meaningless concept. So him ranting at me about high unemployment and how unfair it is to the poor, unemployed black people, and I'm telling him, but, you know, a major percentage of them are living a subsistence life the way their fathers and grandfathers and great-great-grandfathers and, you know, ninth-great-grandfather did. And he can't get his head around it. He just does not right. understand that. For him, the world must look like New Jersey, I guess. And I doubt whether he's ever been to the rural part of New Jersey as I have.
It's... We're seeing this kind of everywhere. I mean, we're looking up here, actually, you know, between your house and ours, we're looking at supposedly drought, but the river has tons of water, but the farmers aren't allowed to use it because supposedly it has to be in there for the fish, but it's not helping the fish, but we're still going to...
And for people like Nancy Pelosi, whose drink water comes out of places like that.
Yeah, but we're still going to waste it. And then when they start talking about, well, we should be, using it for agriculture. Then they're also releasing the water out of our dams, bypassing the hydro facilities.
Of course.
So we're not getting any energy out of it. We're not utilizing it to grow any food. We're just going to flush it out to the ocean.
Okay, and that is how we end up in Vancouver with, I get 2,175 millimeters of rain a year at my place.
Wow.
I swear to you, unless you wash it, it grows mold. Okay, it grows mold.
Mm.
My vertical windows will go green if I don't clean them. Okay. But we actually have water restrictions in summer.
Oh, my God. And you get 2,000 inches of rain?
No.
Well, what did you say?
I think it's about 7 foot 6 inches.
Oh,
so I told people if the ground were level and the water didn't run away, I would drown because I'm not 6 foot.
God, that's unbelievable.
Well, I think if they just managed it properly, I think we would.
It's not managed. You know, they have a couple of dams up here, and then they keep the water clean, etc. And despite God's most bountiful rain, we've got water restrictions in summer. You can only water your lawn certain days.
Mm. Isn't that crazy? Well, I was looking at your little short list for today, and before we leave the issue of farming, but the Black Lives Matter guys, they want land taken from white U.S. farmers and given to blacks,
yes.
Which is exactly what they did in South Africa.
I sent you that link, and now you can see it has arrived in the United States. It's now a Black Lives Matter person who said that farms ought to be taken from white farmers and given to black people as reparation for slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a precursor to that is they're already giving black farmers subsidies that aren't available to white farmers.
Saw that one as well.
It's everything's based on race now.
And if it was done in the reverse, we would all be pilloried.
Yeah. So my comment to you is, it's not the black folks who are to blame for this.
No.
In my mind.
No, not at all.
It's mentally ill white folks who are coming up with this garbage. That's the source of it, and they feed it to gullible black folks who make a fertile ground for this stuff. Okay, it's just like in South Africa. A lot of this stuff is coming out of the little bevy of white communists at the heart of the ANC government. None of whom have a long history in South Africa. They were all sort of latter-day immigrants from Lithuania and the sort of ancillary Soviet countries. Yeah. So it's not as though they care one royal damn for Afrikaners or the history of the country. They just don't care.
What's it going to take, Harry, to get things turned around? I mean, or is it even possible at this point? Because I think we're going to be in this situation ourselves, and we're going to have to turn it around. What do you see in South Africa as a possible turning point?
The only way in South Africa, I don't see, well, okay, let me put it this way. I guess there's always hope. Hope that there will ultimately, among the black folks who have the total hegemony in the country, there's always hope that they realize that this ANC government and its insane communist ideas are impoverishing everybody. It's not working for anybody. We're all getting to be equally poor, etc., etc., that the whites haven't got enough left to steal from them, you know. That's basically it. That, you know, you're getting to the point where, as my cousin said, there's nothing left to steal. So maybe ultimately it gets to the point where there truly is nothing left to steal except to start for the thieves to start stealing from one another. And they've been stealing from a stupid populace. They've been stealing openly from white folks with the blessing of the world. But there's not much left to steal. So ultimately, when that well of theft runs dry, that somebody will say, hey, here's a novel thought. How about we start over and see if we can do this without stealing? How about we actually really grow some stuff and build some stuff and make some stuff? Gee whiz, oh, is that how an economy works? You mean money doesn't come out of an ATM where only white people get it with little plastic cards? Okay, so they wake up eventually and see that that's the situation. I don't think there's going to be enough rational people left alive by then. And so for that reason, since I have no faith that such a magic awakening will happen by itself organically amongst the black population of South Africa, there's just too many of them who are too uneducated, who are too poor, and who find it too easy to just steal. So I don't think it's a self-correcting curve there. Yeah, there are some theorists who will tell you that that's how it will ultimately end. But I think everybody I care for will be dead before that happens. Therefore, there's only one rational solution left in South Africa, and that is for those who care anything for the principles of Western society to get the hell out of the East and move west, where at this point they can still, if they're east of that magic line I have talked to you guys about before, runs borderless along the Fish River of South Africa, and then going north to the border of Botswana at a place, I forget its name now, doesn't matter, near Kuruma, go through that part of the world. West of that line, the so-called colored folks of South Africa and the white folks together make the majority.
Mm-hmm.
And they should, ultimately, as far as I'm concerned, they need to secede. I believe they can create a very nice Western democratic country there with proper voting rights for everybody, no racism, none of that stuff. But they have to show the guts to actually move. And I'm sorry to have to report that I do not believe they have the guts. People don't want to up and move, so I guess they have to hurt more and more will have to die before the conclusion is inevitable.
Yeah, as with anything, I think it has to reach that breaking point for the majority.
How many of their children must die? How many of their parents must die? How many of them must have their wives beaten up and raped? How many of them, you know, I can keep on making the list. What will it take for them to move? It was interesting to me. I had a client back in South Africa around 1995, and he lived in Johannesburg. Rich guy, actually owned a gold mine, seriously. And one day his car was stolen with his briefcase inside, and he started getting threatening phone calls from the guys who had obviously got his car and his case. And he went and bought himself a Toyota Corolla instead of the Mercedes 500 SEC or whatever that he had. And he took his Corolla and simply relocated to Cape Town. And he said, I've had enough. It's obvious what's going to happen. So, you know, gold mine and all. He just gave up on all of that and he just moved.
Wow.
But he's a rich guy. Now you take my family, you know, I got an aunt living in the East. I got two cousins living in the East of the country still. It's not going to be that easy for them.
Can they leave?
And for the farmers, it's going to be near impossible. You want to ask a Kansas farmer to give up his farm and move to Rhode Island?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you had said that they couldn't get out, really, of the country.
Yeah.
What's the status of that?
Well, that's the point, is that I think even if a lot of people could get out of the country, you cannot make a strategic plan for the survival of a nation by assuming everybody's going to emigrate.
Right.
It's not numerically feasible. It's not financially feasible. It's not strategically feasible. So the only hope that I see that is, to my mind, pragmatic is Vote with your feet, you idiots. Get in your car. Even if you have to kiss your damned home goodbye or sell it for a sixpenny heap. Get out of there. And get out of there now.
Yeah.
But they won't, you know. So that's South Africa. So I actually can see how it can work out in South Africa by people literally relocating to the West and then hopefully with support of thinking people in the West secede and draw a line where they can, reestablish themselves behind. But the experiment called South Africa has been a wasted effort for 150 years. That's clear. Because it's round about the 1850s that you can seriously say that that eastern half of the country was developed. It's now going for 170 years. It means kissing 170 years goodbye along with many generations of family effort and everything and all of the economics built up in the east of the country. It will certainly guaranteed go to hell under that government. You don't have to worry about that.
Wow.
Just watch. It will collapse. So, but they need to get out of there. They need to get out of there now.
Yeah, and, life, you know, life's
maybe
too...
Maybe 2% of them can emigrate, but it's never going to be more than 5%.
Right, right. Yeah, life is too precious. And, you know, as bad as things are getting in this country, it's not even close to what's happening in South Africa. So it kind of paints a picture of what we're more than likely going to go through before any big change happens here, because people are people everywhere, and the response will probably be very similar here.
Here's the thing. In the United States, it is so powerful. Its economy is so huge, and its people so collectively insulated from the realities of the world outside its borders, that you can vote in a left-leaning government, you can vote in a right-leaning government, you can do all of those things and go about your normal life with some frustration, but not too much imposition.
Right.
But the consequences of changing those governments are horrendous outside the borders of your country. They're horrendous. Look at Israel. Okay?
Yeah.
Look at how Israel struggled under Obama. It's like Obama made war on Bibi Netanyahu. It's quite obvious. And then Trump gets voted in, and Israel's okay. Then Trump gets voted out, now Israel's not okay.
Well, and
you know, it has profound, profound consequences outside border. So you're shielded to some degree from these realities, but other people are not. And the most sensitive canary in the most violent coal mine is South Africa.
Yeah, you would think...
And that canary is basically already lying fluttering on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's consequences for you guys, and you see these effects, but it's not as though when you now drive to get to your house that you have to worry about whether anybody has sprinkled nails on the road and they're going to attack you, steal your car, possibly, you know, assault you guys.
Well, if you live in some of our larger cities, I think we're headed that direction.
Yeah.
I mean, good grief.
But my cousin has, you know. You've got farmers around you. They got all kinds of things they can moan about the water regulations, about how things are doing, what they're allowed, not allowed to do, the EPA, etc., etc. They can have long discussions about wolves' rights being greater than farmers' rights, etc., etc. I hear all of that stuff, okay? But it's chicken feed compared with, am I going to be alive tomorrow morning in the Northern Free State of South Africa?
Yeah.
Are we going to be attacked tonight? Is this the night that we die?
Yeah, and in our bigger cities, that is that's becoming a very, very common concern. Very common. You look at Chicago. We have a guy that we'd interviewed for a number of years. He's a national security guy. Lived there his entire life, and just said, "That's it. I got to get out of here." He was a black belt in karate. Traveled all over the world. Been in all sorts of wars. I mean, this guy had the credentials to take care of himself. And he said, you know, you can't even plan on taking care of yourself because you'll get ambushed or hit with a stray bullet or they'll, you know, light your apartment on fire. I guess when they were having the riots there in Chicago, they lit the store underneath where he lived on fire. He said, you know, being able to defend yourself is kind of a non-starter anymore.
So we get back to Bo's basic question is, so what do you do? I wanted to just explain that there is a solution for South Africa, but it's a painful one, and people are going to have to just swallow and do it. You know, for the United States, you're not that far down the hole yet. You're heading there, you're not that far down the hole yet. And you are protected from some of the stuff that's happening in South Africa, inherently protected by sheer power and size. But, guys, this kind of shadow government that you folks have, that nobody can tell who the hell it is.
Yeah.
Okay, you can suspect and you can say, oh, it's Obama via Susan Rice or whatever. I hear all of these things. I do not for one minute trust the results of the last election, and I'm not an American, so, you know, people who get upset at me saying that can carry on and being upset. I'll repeat that. I do not accept that answer. I do not trust it because it doesn't make any mathematical sense whatsoever. So, and that's why. But you are going to have to start playing, now I'm talking about Republicans, are going to have to learn to play as dirty as what the Democrats do, because they play dirty, very, very, very dirty.
Okay? Well, they also understand the long game way better than the conservatives do.
And not to just assume it.
I think you'll note that for me, watching watching the Republicans try to fight against the Democrats is like watching the U.S. National Guard guys trying to fight Russian special forces. You know, I've met people of both kinds of ilk.
Well, it's kind of like regular boxing versus like MMA fighting.
Yeah,
it's kind of how it turns out. You know, it's like, regular boxer finds himself in an octagon with a barefooted guy and keeps kicking him in the legs. It's like, wait a second, you're not supposed to do that.
You know, this is political warfare.
Yeah, it is.
And the guys who are now in command are masters at this. And they're masters of dirty play. And they control the media, etc.
Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing Republicans complain about how the media is this, that, and the other. Well, then put your money together and bloody well buy it.
Yeah. Well, the other thing to really point out to people is this doesn't come to a good end, and you can verify that. They don't go part of the way and then stop. This is a train to nowhere, and we're on it. And South Africa is just farther down the tracks.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
South Africa is farther down the tracks, and if ever you have confusion as to where this leads,
yeah,
you take a look at South Africa. That is why I'm on record as saying $1,500 gets you a ticket to South Africa. You can go and see where you're headed.
Yeah, good point. Thank you, Harry.
Harry, thanks for coming on. Sorry about all the technical issues.
Thanks for the second
beginning hour.
We'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah.
God bless you. All right, you've been listening
thanks
to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.